Hello, everybody, and welcome. Today, I have a friend and colleague of mine, Chaya Wilhelm, who is here to share with us some of her tips and tricks on self-regulation. Some of you are more familiar with the nurtured heart approach and the idea that during negativity, our job is really to control ourselves and to pause and trust that a better moment is on the way. And that can be really hard when our own emotions and our own stories and our own triggers come up, because guess what? We're human. So anyway, Chaya is an amazing resource for just that. So Chaya, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, how you got here, and then I can't wait to hear what you have to share with us.
Chaya Wilhelm here. I live now in Coral Springs, Florida. I am a mom of, thank God, many children. I am a wife. I am a teacher. I teach 7th and 8th grade middle school. And excited to be here. I first heard about Nurtured Heart from Missy. I joined her class during COVID when everyone was struggling with all their kids being home and teaching on Zoom. And my husband is a principal, so him taking care of the entire school on Zoom, I felt like I needed something new, something fresh, something exciting. So I got hooked on to Nurtured Heart. And then I went on to get certified. It was the first time that it was offered on Zoom, which was convenient. And I loved it. So I gave some courses. One of the first things I noticed when I started implementing Nurtured Heart in my house was how much it's about me, not so much about my kids. It's about me being able to show up the way I want to show up and me being able to give the energy where I want to give the energy. And in order for me to do that, I need to stay regulated. I had already learned a lot of self-regulation things before, because having a lot of young children, I was kind of forced to learn that I need to be very balanced and regulated in the day to be able to take care of my kids. So incorporating those self-regulation tools together with my course was amazing, because I would give the course, parents would be like, okay, how do I teach my kids to regulate? Or how can I see what's going right if I'm not even in that mindset? Or I just want to yell. So how do I even get there? And because I had a little bit of practice and I had very familiar with a lot of things, I started doing self-regulation actually in the courses, like going into meditation, going into mindfulness, and teaching tips to the parents, and they loved it, because a lot of them knew that they want to feel different, but they didn't know how to get there. So that's actually how I got into the self-regulation, because I'm not a yeller. I never yelled or vocally screamed, but because of that, I would feel so tense inside from holding back the yelling, or like not, you know, I knew that I shouldn't yell, but I didn't know what to do with all that energy and all that frustration that I had. So I started a bunch of different things, and I can go into those things. But first, I wanted to just explain why self-regulation is so important. So when we're dysregulated, we're in our fight and flight mode, and we're not in our logical brains, and we're not really in control of what we're going to say, what's going to happen, what we're going to do, and we're really not able to see what's going right. One of my best ways to know if I'm getting dysregulated is I'll ask myself, like, what's going right now? And if I can't answer it right away, like, I have to do something to regulate, because the only way you can even see the right things is when you're balanced and regulated. So Nurtured Heart also says, like, giving your energy to where you want to give it. So if I want to show up the way that I truly want to show up, I need to be in tune with what's going on in my body to be able to show up in that way. So one of my biggest tips is not waiting until we feel dysregulated and then, okay, what should I do now? But throughout the day, finding those little moments, I'm waiting in carpool, or I'm waiting at my husband's bringing the kids home, so I have like a half hour before they get home, or right when they left the house to go to school, and I have a few minutes before I go to work. It might be 2 or 3 minutes. It might be a half hour. It doesn't really matter, but my intention in that time, what am I going to do? I'm going to do something to regulate myself, even if I don't feel dysregulated at that moment, because regulating myself throughout the day is going to keep me balanced, so that when there is something in the end of the day with all my kids coming home from school and them escalating me, I won't get as escalated because I started from a really low threshold. So that's a really good tip, because I used to use those moments to quickly check my phone or quickly, you know, do something or just waste time or just do nothing. But being intentional to really use it as like, okay, I want to kind of like preempt anything. Like I'm going to be proactive. So I'm going to eat a snack before my kids come home. I'm going to just breathing. I'm just going to take a 10 deep breaths before my kids come home. I'm going to bring myself back to baseline so that when they walk in and they're coming in with all their problems and all their things and all their stories from school, I can stay focused and give them what they need. So that's a tip, but it has to be very intentional. So it has to be, I want to do this. I want to show up in a certain way for my kids. I want to show up in a certain way in my classroom. So I'm going to preempt it and make sure that I'm proactive in that.
I once heard some trainers talking and they were talking about this idea. And in Nurtured Heart, we talk about the reset, which is basically in a moment where we're off like balance and out of line to reset, to like come back, to start over and get back to who we really want to be. So they were talking about this idea as like, well, this is a preset. Let's preset instead of reset, you know? Yeah. Love that.
Right. And also that's great. Cause that's exactly being proactive, presetting yourself so that you're, cause we want to be proud of the way that we're showing up and the way that we're, when we're not proud of how we're showing up, it's because we didn't take that time to really regulate. And also once we're not regulated, we might not realize it. So we'll need like somebody from the outside. That's where the reset comes in, because when do we tell our children to reset? They're not in their regulated brain. So they need us to be able to co-regulate with them or to show what it looks like to regulate, because they're totally not getting it. So also for ourselves, sometimes if we let ourselves get too far and we go into that dysregulated state, we're going to need help from the outside. So why not preempt it and help ourselves before? One of the questions that came up from one of the parents when I was giving the course was like, well, what if I'm just not, you need to feel nurture to nurture. So if I'm not feeling that nurtured, how can I show that nurtured heart to my children in the moment? And my big thing, which I shared, was I think it's more important to be an absent parent than to be a yelling parent. So if at that moment I need to take the reset, I need to take myself out of that situation for a few minutes, or I'm not going to leave my, I'm going to make sure my child is safe and everything's okay, I'm going to take myself out just to reset. And again, it needs to be intentional, because I can take myself out and then let all my thoughts just circle around about how hard the situation is. Or I can take myself out and really be intentional, because I know the regulation thing that helps me and I'm working on it, I'm doing it. So when I go out, I am taking those 10 deep breaths. So I come back to the same situation, but from like a really calm, more regulated, I can see things differently. I see it way more objectively. And another story that happened, which was interesting after I learned this idea, was I told all my kids to go put on their pajamas, and one of my daughters went straight to the kitchen sink and was washing dishes, playing with water. So I told her, I said, well, what are you doing? And she said, you told us to put pajamas on and I decided to go wash my hands. There's a lot of different things I could have responded to that, but the power of pausing and take a minute. I don't need to respond right away. If I do respond, I might regret what I'm going to say. So take a minute and think about, there's an infinite amount of possibilities that I can say, because we're so not bound to, our negative thoughts, right? So if I take a pause and I can think like, what else can I access at that moment? I was like, you know what, let me access humor. So I said, well, that's really honest, because she was being honest and she told me that. I said, okay, so let's see how quick you can put on your pajamas. I'm counting right now, and like run upstairs and see how silly and quick you can do it, you know? And she ran. So I feel like that was a win for me, but the way that I was able to get there is by really being intentional and knowing that taking that pause is important and how powerful that pause is.
I love that. Someone once said, I forgot who it was, it was also another trainer, choosing not to respond is an intentional response.
Right.
Like, I want to be intentional about my response, so then that's my response, pause. Right. And I'll come back when I have the right thing to say.
And that also the idea of like, we're never not choosing our reaction. So it's true, we're never not choosing our reaction when we're in our logical brain. But when we're not in our logical brain, then our emotions take over, our fight and flight take over, where we feel like we're physically in danger. When we're in danger, we can't see anything going right. Yeah. And also I saw this saying, which was so true, like a dysregulated adult can never regulate a dysregulated child. Like, it's not going to work. And the way that we show our children really is by being the change that we want them to be. So when we work on ourselves, it automatically creates a certain energy and atmosphere in our homes, in our work, in our classroom. And the whoever we're with, whether it's our students or our children or our spouse, they feed off that energy. So when I work on myself, bringing that calm, it automatically diffuses so many situations when I respond in a different way. And again, it's only able to be done when I'm balanced. So just many different scenarios that come up is like something falling out of the fridge, right? So this olive jar falling out of the fridge and there's a bunch of oil on the floor and there's glass on the floor. And it could be a huge situation, but if I'm more balanced and I maybe escalate to like a 2-3 because I started off at a 1 and I didn't get to a 10 because I wasn't at an 8, then it's like, okay, we're all going to work together. We're going to get a towel. We're going to pick up the glass. We're going to make sure everyone's wearing shoes. We're going to make sure everyone's safe. And your kids see that. They see how you respond to these situations. So that, and I've seen like some of my kids, like when other things have happened, they're like, okay, that it happened. So let's take care of it. And let's work towards the solution instead of being stuck in the what happened.
I love that. It's kind of like a cup. I saw this once, a cup that's like empty, right? So you pour in some water, or even if you pour in like vinegar, like I can hold that, right? I have a whole cup. But if my cup is full or almost full and you pour in that vinegar, whoosh, you know, out it comes pouring because there's no space to hold it. So I love that idea of the preset of like, let's start with an empty cup so that we can hold all of the energies and all of the things.
Right. And it's funny you mentioned a cup because I have this like, story I like about a cup. So you're walking down the hallway and you're holding a cup of coffee and someone bumps into you and your coffee falls out. Why did your coffee fall out? Because there was coffee in your cup. If there was tea in the cup, then the tea would have fallen out. If there was water, water would have fallen out. So when we get jostled, when we get triggered, then whatever's inside of us, that's what's going to end up coming out. So we could really intentionally focus on what we're putting inside of us. We can so that when we're jostled or whatever happens, calmness comes out, joy comes out, you know, like really logical thinking comes out and not frustration when we're working on that. And I also think that a lot of frustration or these kind of feelings come from we're trying to control many situations. So we're trying to control how a situation looks or how someone talks to us or what happens in our day. And when we come to a conclusion that the only one we can really be in charge of is ourselves, then we totally take charge because there is a way for us to take charge of ourselves. And that letting go of what you cannot take control of and controlling what you can take control of is empowering, right? So then I feel like I'm empowered because I feel I am totally, empowerment means that I feel like I can do something about it, right? So I feel like I can do something about myself because I'm the only one who can really change is me. And then you slowly see how it affects your family, affects the people, and affects the actions. But also, even if their actions stay the same, you still feel empowered because you let go of that notion that I can change something. Because I can't. I can only change myself. So letting go and focusing on yourself and what I could do to myself is really empowering. And then going back to like, okay, I'm so busy and I have so much to do and I'm going from one thing to the next and emergencies crop up and all these kind of things happen. So how am I going to, and now I'm adding another responsibility because I need to be regulated and I need to always be on and I need to always, you know, feel like I'm balanced and ready for everybody else in my life. So looking at it as like, I need to cut off a whole chunk of time from my day to regulate is very overwhelming. But if I looked at even something called like mindfulness, which is a big word nowadays, but I'm going to brush my teeth because I brush my teeth every day, but I'm going to be mindful about it. So I'm going to look at the toothpaste when it's coming on the toothbrush. I'm going to feel the taste in my mouth, the minty taste. I'm going to feel the water. I'm going to be very intentional in those 2 minutes of what's going on. So I'm blocking out everything else from my brain and it really rewires our brains to be more present when doing all these small little things in the shower, feeling the lathering, feeling the towel, feeling everything, the textures. Eating, right? So not having my phone while I'm eating lunch and taking those few minutes of like, what's going on? Tasting my food. I actually heard someone, when she did a mindfulness thing, she gave one of her clients a raisin and the client was eating it. And she's like, I actually don't really like raisins. And she never really like tasted it because she didn't take that time to actually taste it. But when she took the time to be mindful, she's like, it's not really something I like. So in the things we anyways do, being mindful, that's also It doesn't have to be an added burden because it's not going to happen, right? The only thing that's really going to happen is something that you actually do. The only exercise that's really going to work is the one that you like. So if I'm already doing something, why not make it a little bit more mindful? So mindfulness walks, that's a really good one. Like feeling my right foot's going, my left foot's going, what's going on? I hear the bird, I hear the airplane, I hear, just incorporating it into my day with already what's going on is takes away all that overwhelm.
I love that. That's so practical and so powerful and so helpful. I will say that when I was starting my mindfulness journey, I had a therapist at the time who was trying to help me to learn this. And literally it started with, from my office, she said, till your car, I want you to feel the ground underneath your feet as you walk. It was such a big shift, just that tiny little thing. And honestly, I felt so safe. Like every time I took a step, I was being held, I was being caught. I felt like God was like supporting me and holding me. I felt so connected. It was such a cool experience. And it was just that one time that's so simple. It's very practical. I love that. Thank you.
And the other thing I wanted to say was Nurture Heart is very into seeing a child for who he is, right? His soul, his inside, his goodness. We can only see that if we see our own worth and our own goodness and our own soul, right? So seeing that, and when can we see ourselves and our worth, and when do we feel really good about ourselves? When we're regulated. When do I know I'm dysregulated? When I get the jealousy comes in, or the comparing to others, or the I'm not good enough, or the why can't I do this and they can, or I can't have it all together, or my house is such a mess. All those things signal to me that I'm dysregulated, you know. And when I'm in a regulated state, all those things might still be there. I might still be overworked, I still might have a messy house, but I can look at it differently. Like I actually started this affirmation, like I love my messy house because that means that I have a lot of children, thank God. And they bring so much joy to my house. So part of having that joy is having a messy house. And I'm going to try to do my best to do one thing. So I'll clear the, you know, one floor or one sink of dishes, but take pride in that mess. But I can only think that way if I'm in that logical state of mind. And also we need to be really kind to ourselves and give ourselves a lot of compassion because we're human. So we're going to become dysregulated no matter how much we try to always be regulated. Things will come up and our kids will come home and say something, or I really wanted to do a breathing right before they came home, but the gardener showed up and my 10 minutes went away and I couldn't do it. So I might have escalate faster than I really want to, and I might not show up the way I want, but that's my reset. And I can always go back and I can always tell myself, like, just have compassion. It's okay. I'm human. You know, and I can always go back to getting myself down. It's not the end of the world, and bring myself back to baseline. So really having compassion for ourselves. And I feel like when our children see how much compassion we have for ourselves, they also have, they're less hard on themselves because we're not hard on ourselves. And they learn, they see the lingo that we're talking. They see how we're interacting with others, how we're talking to ourselves. They hear it, they know it, and they copy it. Even 3-4-year-olds, they copy exactly the language that we say to ourselves. And like my son, he started saying, like, what do we do in this situation? And he's 3. And I was like, why are you saying that? And it, like, I was talking to his teacher, and his teacher said, well, when there's a problem, they have like the class problem solve. And she says, well, what do you think we should do in this situation? So kids really hear the way we talk, the way we talk to ourselves, right? So if I mess up, how am I going to teach my child what to do when they mess up? I'm going to use that, talk about it, say it. Definitely giving them that emotional stability and giving them those skills is acting it and showing it. I also teach, so I teach middle school, and sometimes, you know, they're very lively and they're very active. And but really, there's a known saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So that's like a very well-known saying, especially in teachers. And when I learned this, I heard it so many years, but like last year I had this like epiphany, like, you need to be regulated to show your students how much you care. So if you want to show how much you care, then you really need to work on yourself, because otherwise you're coming in and you feel like you're in a danger zone because there's these 14-year-olds who are 20 of them and you're one person. And right away, because our fight and flight drive is so strong because they want to protect us, right? So I'm like looking out for when's the next ball going to drop and which student is going to be out of their seat and which one's not working. When I come in with empowerment that I'm in a much more baseline, and I'm looking, and I right away notice which students are actually sitting and focus on them, the whole shift, like the whole class energy shifts. And then when it doesn't shift or when that doesn't happen right away, I can just tell myself, like, I'm human. The only one I can change is myself. I can breathe in the middle of class. Breathing is amazing because you could do it when nobody even notices that you're doing it. And it just, you know, so, and then when I actually do address a certain situation, I'm coming from a place where I want to show up from. I'm not coming from frustration. And that shows the students how much you care. I actually had a student who was pretty tough. Like, she challenged me and she wasn't always doing the right thing. But in the end of the year, she told me that even though she wasn't the best student, she saw how much I cared about her. So it comes across from, all goes back to really regulation. Being based on, so you can think logically of what would be the best thing to say right now, what would be the best thing to do right now. Yeah,
so you mentioned breathing as like an incredible resource because we're doing it anyways and because nobody can notice, especially in that moment when, like you said, you're a bunch of 14-year-olds staring at you. You know, you're kind of in a very public position and you can't just hide or walk away. Do you have any like ways that you prefer to be conscious of your breathing or things you think about or how you breathe when you do that kind of breathing reset?
Yeah. So first of all, the first thing is to notice your breath. And when I notice it, usually I'm breathing really shallow because when we're even getting a little bit into fight and flight or we're getting a little bit stressed, our breath gets very shallow. So just noticing that, is my breath, is it, am I inhaling fully? Am I exhaling fully? Is it shallow? And then trying to get the exhale more than the inhale. So when I first tried doing this, I was only able to inhale like two or three breaths. I'm like out three or four, but the more you practice, you build up your lung capacity. So now I sometimes, if I'm really like balanced, I can get up to like a six and an eight, or sometimes a seven and a nine. So having your exhale more than your inhale, and at the end of your exhale, your body's automatically going to inhale. You don't have to remind yourself to breathe again. That's a big deal. And already when you're already focusing on your exhale being more than your inhale, it's already kind of like a meditation because you're focusing on your breath now. So you're more focused on you know, what's going on in you. The other thing that was helpful is like when we're really nervous, our heart starts pounding really fast and it makes us more nervous. Like, oh my gosh, my heart starts pounding and I'm really stressed. And I heard this beautiful thing. It's like your heart's pounding because God's telling you right now that he's so happy that you're alive. He's reminding you that your heart, you're alive, it's pounding and so proud of you and happy that you're here. And it's like, okay, like, you know, I might be a little bit stressed, but there's a reason I'm here and I'm worthy and I'm okay. And it's just telling me that I'm alive and there's a reason why I'm here. So that's also really powerful. The other thing is a really good resource. It's called the 60-Second Fix. It's by Dr. Reggie Melrose. She's pretty well known in like somatic therapy, which is being very in tune to your body. And she has a 60-second fix, which is more of a grounding kind of meditation. I've actually done this with a lot of the clients that took my Nurture Heart course because they wanted like a really practical way that we can ground and it shouldn't take forever. So once you master it, it literally takes 60 seconds. If you want, we can quickly do it on here. So what you do is you feel your feet on the ground. That's the first thing. So you feel it planted. If it helps, you can like imagine like roots coming out, or you can imagine like quicksand pulling at your feet. And then you focus on your breath. So you want to inhale and feel your tummy filling with air and you want to exhale. Then you focus on what you're sitting on. So a lot of us tend to like really hold ourselves up, but it's okay because if you don't hold yourself up and just relax, your chair is going to hold you up. You're supported, you're okay, or your bed or wherever you're on. So really just letting go and being like, I'm safe and I can just let go. And the last final one is imagining like a place in nature that you really like. So for me, it's really the ocean. I imagine the ocean and it helps me with my grounding of my feet because I imagine the water, like the wet sand pulling my feet in. And what you do is you just like focus on these four things. And whenever you have a thought, you go back to whichever one you want to go back to. So you can go back to your breath. You can go back to your feet. You can go back to your support. You can go back to your place of nature. I also like where it says, she has like a meditation. So in the recording, it says like, if you feel something that's uncomfortable, just focus on something that's more comfortable. And it was like so in line with Nurtured Heart where it said like what you focus on grows or the things that you look at change. So I don't need to, because the uncomfortable things that come up, that takes so much of my attention, but I can intentionally choose not to go there and not to focus on that because there's so much more I can ground myself. I can feel that support. I can feel that just, I can go back to so much more positive things that will pull me back from the negative. So
So that's very practical. I mean, you have to be kind of sitting to do it, but it takes so quick. I actually, I teach eighth grade, so they had high school interviews, and they were so nervous about these interviews. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to teach you today because you're so nervous. So do you want to learn a regulation technique? And they were like, sure, please teach us. They just really want to know. And I did the 60-second fix with them, and they got all into it, and they really enjoyed it. So when we know all these techniques and we practice them, we're also able to on the spot give it to our kids. Right. So when we're sending them to do that reset or to bring them back to their baseline, we're not sending them out to somewhere where we have no idea where we're sending them to. We have so many tools that we can teach them. And on that note, we should probably teach it to them not when they're escalated, because when we teach it to them when they're on baseline, then they can really internalize it. And hopefully as they practice that, they'll get into the habit that when they do get dysregulated, they'll know on their own. Or we can just give them like, oh, remember, you can do that breathing, or you can listen to that music, or you can, you know, and they'll already know what to do. It'll be much easier for them to do it. And the thing about the reset and the regulation, there's nothing wrong with it, right? So everybody gets dysregulated. Some people faster than others, and they're coming back from a whole day of school, and they're hungry, and they're tired, and they had to, you know, all this pressure at school. So they are going to come back home with some sort of dysregulation just from being out of the house all day and being ongoing. And so there's nothing wrong. Like, we're all going to take a family reset because we all had a long day, right? Like, I always imagine, like, when you take your kids, like, to the amusement park and you come home and they're all crying, nothing wrong with that. Right? They just had a very overstimulating day and everyone had a great time. And what we're going to do right now is we're all going to just like relax, and we're going to breathe, and we're going to come back to baseline. And it's not ungrateful kids who are crying right now, but it's just overstimulated and unregulated kids. So knowing that and having that like in your mind, it changes a lot of situations from seeing that. And then the pre-regulation is, oh, if I'm taking my kid into a situation that might be stressful for them or dysregulated, I have to do that errand straight from school and I forgot to bring my kid a snack, right? So I can vocalize that to them. Like, yeah, sometimes we act this way when we're hungry, and I know mommy forgot to bring a snack, so maybe we'll stop and pick up something before. And if we can't, like, I know how you feel. Like, even if just telling them that whatever they're feeling is correct and it's just part of being human already could stop a tantrum from happening, because you're with them in it. Yeah.
I love this so much. Thank you, Chaya. This has been so valuable. So many cool actual practical tips and techniques, as well as just such a clear understanding and such a helpful shift to see this all as part of the intended day-to-day of humanness. The preset, the reset, the regulating, dysregulating, it's all part of who we are, and it's all okay. And incredible empowerment in knowing that there are tools out there to help us that we can practice. Chaya, if anybody out there would like to hear more and is interested in reaching out to you, is that an option? And how can they do that? And what can they expect?
Okay. So sure. So I have an email. It's whatsgoingright@gmail.com. And I'd love if anybody wants comments or more information. There's a lot more tools that weren't able to fit in here, so I do have a lot more to share. So that's what you can email that, and I'll get back to you. We can talk.
All right. And I'll be putting her email address down in the notes.
Yeah. Yes.
And thank you so much for being here, Chaya. And till next time.